Today is Wednesday. It's November 23rd, 2022, and it's 2:33 in the afternoon. Hi, I'm John Williams. This is the Mincing Rascals podcast. Portions of this podcast will be broadcast on WGN Radio Saturday night. We're often there at 8 o'clock, and you can hear me weekdays on WGN Radio from 10 to 2.
I'm Austin Bird from the Illinois Policy Institute. You can listen to my podcast, America's Talking.
I'm John Hanson of WGN Radio, Block Club Chicago, CW26, and the Blackhawks.
I'm Brandon Pope with WCIU and WBEZ.
I'm Heather Sharone of WTTW.
And I'm Eric Zorn, the very grateful proprietor of the Picayune Sentinel weekly Substack newsletter.
It's like we're all gathered around the virtual Zoom Thanksgiving table here today to do a sort of Thanksgiving-themed Mincing Rascals podcast. Brandon is on the road. Where are you, Brandon?
Just getting out of Chicago. I'm just getting out of Chicago. So,
all right.
I'm in Indiana, it looks like. A lot of corn.
Chime in as best you can, Brandon. And Heather, it's good to see you on the Zoom again. We haven't heard from you in a while.
Yeah, I've been very busy between the city passing its budget and then the midterm elections. And now we have the race for mayor and city council fully underway. So I have been burning the midnight oil. No time for a fun podcast.
Glad you're able to join us today. I got this note from one of our listeners today. Hey, John Williams, do other people's Thanksgivings operate the same way they did at my house, where dinner may be ready anytime between 3 p.m. and 9:30, and the people cooking get very angry when you ask, is it ready yet? The only time a holiday meal blew up in our house was when there weren't food and beverage at a reasonable hour for the young kids. The adults were milling and munching and drinking, and dinner did not get put on that night until well into the evening. And one of the moms got upset, and words were exchanged, and everything fell apart. And I suppose if you have small children, it's on you to make sure that your kids get their food at an appropriate time, even if you have to bring it yourself. But I also think if you're hosting for everyone, you're hosting for everyone, right? So grandma needs to have some whole milk and fruit pieces or whatever it is the little kids need to eat. Here's some of my rules for the Thanksgiving table. It's okay to talk politics if everyone wants to talk politics, especially if they're on the same page. If everyone isn't on the same page, it's okay if you still want to do that. But maybe a preemptive, you want to go there, Kevin, before you unload would be a good idea. You should dress nice at Thanksgiving. If you don't eat meat, maybe you should keep that secret with you. Not sure about that. We may need to comment. As Neil Steinberg said in his Sunday column today, in his Sun-Times column today, pause and take in the moment and appreciate the people around you. Neil's words today I just thought were lovely. Eric Zorn this week once again made his case to move Thanksgiving to October. And my friend Don Jackson Blattner, who is a nutritionist and dietitian, also threw this on our show this week. She said that for Thanksgiving, and I guess this would apply to a lot of holiday meals, you should think of the acronym PARTY. P is for plate. Only eat the food on your plate. Don't graze. A is for activity. Go for a walk or something before or after dinner. R is for reason, which means that Thanksgiving isn't about food. It's about family and the things you're thankful for. So you don't have to be so food-focused. T is for taste. Taste the food. Don't just shovel it in there. Eat more slowly. Savor the food. Think about the food. Taste it. And finally, your favorites. If you like stuffing and sweet potatoes and mashed potatoes with gravy, if those are your favorites, eat them. But don't just eat the food that's there. Don't eat the food that you like. Eat the food that you love, whatever it may be.
Have a good week, everyone.
Yeah.
You know, Thanksgiving is always interesting in my family. As a son of now a retired fire chief, brother of two firefighters, and someone who works in media and works every Thanksgiving, it's rare that we actually all get together on Thanksgiving Day. But this year is one of those years. So I'll just start off by saying I'm just excited for that. I'll be on the radio from noon to three, but we do Thanksgiving in the evening. All my brothers, their kids, everything, everyone's going to be there, the parents. And so, yeah, I think I will try and soak it in. And this is the first year that I live two blocks away so I can stumble home at the end of Thanksgiving and not have to drive back into the city. So I like all those rules, except I don't think you need to dress nice. I think you need to dress comfortable. Elasticity is the name of the game. Things that expand, clothes that you can fall asleep on the couch in afterwards for a little bit, all acceptable. But the rest of the rules are pretty good.
You're going to host, Heather? What's going on at your house?
We're keeping it low key. It's been a long year. You know, we're all sort of recovering from sort of various stress. And, you know, I think sometimes the stress of like sort of the, you know, of Thanksgiving can make it a little bit less stressful. So I think one of those post-pandemic lessons I've learned is to, you know, to just keep it simple. And, you know, you can have special days, you know, with the extended family, with your family, any day of the week, any day of the month. And there's no need to sort of get worked up about having to have the perfect Thanksgiving experience or spread. And a lot of times that pressure makes it harder to create those good memories.
Boy, isn't that the truth?
So I'm hearing SpaghettiOs and tater tots.
If I had to cook, that's exactly what it would be. Thankfully, my husband is in charge.
But if that makes you happy, I mean, you're so right about we get so into the presentation of this show that unless someone else is doing it for you, it takes all the fun out of having it, or at least it can.
Yeah, there's sometimes a lot of ego in Thanksgiving. So a lot of my dad's family is from around the Effingham area, this small town called Altamont. And I'm remembering my grandfather, may he rest in peace, the last year he was allowed to cook the turkey, he poisoned everybody on accident. So he allowed the turkey to cool in the garage for like an unspecified amount of time. And I think like there was enough sleuthing done that it was like, oh, it's definitely grandpa's turkey. And that was the last year he could cook the turkey. And I still don't know how that decision was ever made, because the power dynamics are just, you can't tell. This goes sort of to the politics thing. You can't tell a man or woman over 70 that they're wrong about anything. I mean, that's why would you even try? Whether it's, you know, what they're cooking or what their political opinions are. So I think it's just sort of let people be themselves on Thanksgiving. Maybe that's the moral.
Even if they want to poison everybody with some sort of although really my view is, my wife and I don't always agree on hygiene protocol in the kitchen. And I always think, well, if you're going to cook it, then it'll kill whatever, you know, was going to make you sick. But evidently not, huh, Austin?
I something happened. We'll never know.
If you cook it and leave it out in the garage for a few hours,
it's maybe not the best place.
You've negated the benefits of heating it up.
Brandon, what are the traditions for you guys, or do you have any?
You know, I think the biggest thing is just being able to come together, see my niece and nephew and my mom and grandma and some cousins. And we used to fry a turkey every year. We've stopped doing that because it's just a lot. So now the tradition is like, now everyone pitches in. So I'm on mac and cheese duty this year. They tend to like my mac and cheese, so that's a good thing. And then the big tradition, me and Eric are talking about it, the Ohio State-Michigan game, like watching football together is always really fun. So I love family time. I love being able to get back and see the smiles and have a few sports debates and all that kind of stuff like that.
I don't know how you feel about this, Eric, but I don't think a TV should be in view during Thanksgiving dinner. You can't watch the game while you're eating the dinner.
Well, I think that should be true at any meal, not just Thanksgiving. I don't think the TV should be on during a meal, especially when you're, I mean, by yourself, okay, but when you're eating with other people, having a TV on, that's certainly nothing we've ever done in my family. So I would agree with that. I do like the idea though that there's the three NFL games on Thursday, and it's a great break from socializing and just people getting away and sitting in front of the TV. A couple of thoughts about what you said earlier. The timing of a Thanksgiving dinner, and this kind of dovetails with what Austin said, is it's all predicated on when the turkey is done. And when the turkey is done is based on when the turkey was put into the oven. So if you're serving Thanksgiving at 9:30 at night, you have messed up much earlier in the day. Yeah. It's not one of those things where, I mean, when the timing is based, you have to back time dinner. And to my mind, 5 o'clock is about the right time for Thanksgiving dinner, but whatever time you set, you should have that set and have everything planned before that. And about talking politics during the meal, I think that should be off the table completely, even if everybody's in agreement. That when people are in agreement, it could be very depressing. I mean, and so I just feel like Thanksgiving is not a time to talk about politics and politicians, even if you're Heather and this is your entire life. I think Thanksgiving, you know, like I say, even if you're all in agreement one side or the other, and this idea of saying you want to go there, Kevin, wasn't that your line? You really want to go there? Who wants to go there at Thanksgiving dinner? That's just a bad idea.
Well, Kevin started it. I mean, it wasn't my idea.
So what we're doing, we're having our three adult children and their partners over for dinner. We have two of them are going to, or actually, they're all three are going to be staying in the house. We're going to find a place for all of them to sleep in the house, and this is, I think, the first time we've ever had that whole assembly together. And it's really, I think, it'll be very nice. So
you're looking forward to that. Yeah. How long are they going to stay there?
Very much.
How long are they going to be there?
Well, Ben, our the fiddle player, he lives in the house with us, with his fiance. They're here, and then my daughter Annie lives a couple miles away, and she and her partner are going to be up here. And then my son from New York has flown in, and they're going to be here till Sunday. So people will be coming in and out, but it should be a really nice time.
Yeah. Does anybody ever do this? So we traditionally, I mean, for 12 of the last 13 years, would eat Thanksgiving out at a restaurant. We didn't eat in. And boy, is that a good way to go. We would go to Lowry's until they closed for the pandemic. That was our tradition. And so you did put on your jacket, you know, and went out. And there was not a lot of prep. There were no leftovers, mind you. But it was a much easier way for my wife, I'll say. And now that we're doing it ourselves. So last year was the first year we cooked Thanksgiving dinner at our house in a decade. And it was a kind of happy chaos. You know what really kind of got us through it all was we put The Last Waltz on the TV in the room next to the kitchen, and you could listen to it, you could watch it, you could drop in on it, you could walk away from it, and I guarantee you that we're going to do that again this year.
It's a good Thanksgiving tradition is to watch Neil Young on a lot of cocaine.
I heard that they digitized it out. Have we talked about this before, Austin?
I don't know if that's a myth or not. I think that's true. I think they spent a lot of money digitally removing visible cocaine from Neil Young's nose in The Last Waltz.
Yeah.
I'm going to check while everyone else is talking. I'll come back with an update.
I've heard, I don't know if it was that way in the original or if they've since done that, but somebody brought that to my attention today.
I've never heard of The Last Waltz.
It's the band, their last concert, right?
Yeah.
Maybe it was like frosting from a cookie or something like that. Anyone think about that? Maybe it's just powdered sugar.
It was 1976. It was their farewell concert, and so the band is playing, but the people that play with them, that go up on stage, are Neil Diamond and Ringo Starr and Van Morrison and the Staple Sisters and who else am I missing here? But it's just
Bob Dylan,
Muddy Waters. It's just like this insane cast of people that perform with them. I was going to say Bruce Springsteen, but Springsteen wasn't there. But it was an amazing, amazing show. Really good singing, really fun.
I'm excited just as a Thanksgiving movie. There's not very many, but Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. We're getting 75 extra minutes released of John Candy and Steve Martin. And I'm just so, I can't wait to watch that. I've seen a few people sharing just little clips on Twitter. I just love John Candy so much. And obviously we lost him too soon. And just the idea of seeing some improvised scenes that made it to the cutting floor to one of my favorite holiday movies. I really can't wait to see that.
John, did you see AV Club's sort of dissecting that movie? What if it was set in current times because the cars and the phone technology and everything has changed so much that they wouldn't need to go through that ordeal? And it's just kind of a funny reminder of how technology has changed in our world. And it's just kind of a funny send-up of the movie, but you should look at that.
Yeah, I've also heard that if the Seinfeld was set today, every single problem would be solved in 2 seconds because of technology, because it usually involved a lack of a cell phone. So,
you know, and there's a great couple of scenes in West Wing. I mean, we did this on the radio today. We made a mashup of the – maybe I'll ask Pete to tag it at the end of the podcast today, but we did sort of a mashup of some of the great Thanksgiving scenes in movies and TV. And there's a couple in West Wing where President Bartlett – didn't realize that there was a Butterball hotline.
Yeah.
So he calls in and pretends he's, you know, some guy from North Dakota or wherever, and then starts to ask questions. And it's just very funny. It's a great bit. Brandon, whereabouts are you on the road right now? We may have lost him.
I think I'm still in the rural parts of Indiana.
How do you not know? Promise me you're heading east. At least that would be a start, right?
I'm going the right direction. I got to go through Indianapolis, so I know I'm headed that way.
Oh, you're going south and east. Huh?
So you're going to go buy all the wind farms then on 65.
Yeah, I love those. Those are beautiful.
I think those are awesome. I love them.
Yeah, they are. For those of us who just are driving by them, I think they are awesome. I'm not sure if you live by them, they're all that awesome, but have to get some people calling in and telling us about that. But
hey, Brandon, do you agree with me that you should not wear a sweatshirt and pajama pants to Thanksgiving dinner the way John Hansen does?
I don't think you should do pajama pants, but I think you should do, like, you know, a nice Adidas tracksuit or a Nike tracksuit or a sweatsuit or something, like something that's like fashionable but functional, because you do want to be able to expand out, you know?
You sound like Joey on Friends. I think
you gotta have the function.
Yeah, maybe I'm just being an old get off my lawn guy because I'm so used to wearing a blazer and going to Lowry's. But I do think that maybe forget Thanksgiving for just a second. People who go to restaurants in Chicago, it is amazing to me how much they don't dress up, how crazy casual people are. Austin, I would never wear that hat you have on your head now to a restaurant.
Yeah, I have a Cardinals hat on. But I do have a little shacket going on today. I would wear this to a restaurant.
Yes, you do.
But I would... Yeah, one of the things I love about Chicago is that it is allergic to pretension, and that is evident in the way people do not dress up for most things, including restaurants.
Yeah.
So I kind of like it. And if you really want that experience, there are places you can go where you don't have to see someone in a t-shirt, if that offends you.
Yeah, I guess so. I don't think of it as pretentious, but I'll take your point, no offense. But, I mean, if you're going out, I guess it's your money. You want to be comfortable, they'll take it. And if I don't like it, I guess I'm in the wrong place, right?
I agree. I like the fact that there isn't a lot of pretension. I agree with Austin on that point.
Do any of you have to navigate the dad's new wife or, you know, somebody's been divorced and now there's a new person in the family and the dynamics can be a little tricky?
Austin's first Thanksgiving as a married guy, right?
I was thinking about that.
So that's a change. True.
Yeah, how's that going to go?
It's going to be a mess. No, just kidding. What's weird is, I've been with my wife, we've been together for 10 years. So we've always done sort of like both Thanksgivings. But this year is very different because my family moved from Illinois to Michigan, to Holland, Michigan. So we're doing sort of like the split Thanksgiving thing. We'll have Thursday Thanksgiving out in the Chicago burbs with my wife's family. And then we'll have a Friday Thanksgiving where it'll mostly just be me watching the World Cup with my dad on Friday. So that's the biggest difference. It has nothing to do with us being married. It's just people moving, you know.
How much? So you'll do two Thanksgivings, Austin? Two?
Yes, I'll have two.
Is every Eric, how many are you in for one? Because everybody's at your place, right?
I'm just in for one. Can I circle back here to the last waltz? I have been researching online while everyone's been talking. You guys have been talking about stuff I haven't been paying attention on. But the last waltz is available for rental at Vudu.com. That if you go to Amazon Prime, you've got to buy it for like $15. You could rent it for $4 at Vudu. And so if anyone wants to follow the Williams family tradition, you can do it that way. Anyway,
I didn't realize. Did we pay that last year? Did I have to rent that last year, Eric? I suppose so, huh?
You probably did, or maybe you bought it. I mean, I don't know. You know,
yeah.
Big. You know,
that giant radio salary of mine.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, my colleague, Steve Alexander, who does the business of food for us, each year brings up what the average cost of a Thanksgiving dinner is for a family of 10. Did you guys see the number? What do you think the average cost is for a Thanksgiving dinner, according to the FDA or whoever does this? What's a Thanksgiving dinner for 10 cost?
I'll guess $300.
It's a little less than 70.
What?
No booze though in that, I assume.
No, which I mean that's yeah.
Wait a minute, $70? Come on, $70 for 10 people?
That's the per capita prorated
This is Heather's house with the cans of spaghetti and the tater tots.
She's bringing it down.
Can't be right. That can't be right. $7 a person? Come on.
I know.
That's impossible.
It ticks me off every year because I go, that's ridiculous, because I know what our grocery... No. We've made like 4 trips to various stores to stock up. It's such an amount... So much food, so much beverage, so much stuff.
Can I just say, and this is a quick plug, but also just a really interesting conversation. Max Armstrong's going to come on with me tomorrow live on WGN. And I just find it so fascinating. I was reading articles about where our food comes from, not generically speaking, but each dish, which region produces the most of the cranberries and the pumpkins and the turkeys, and how that all works, and the interplay between farmers and, I guess, hunters or people that get all the turkey meat. What are those called? I don't know. See, Max will tell me. But I just love hearing about how that operates within the U.S. and how we are able to get such bountiful amounts of food in our country to every plate, or hopefully every family in the U.S. So,
shout out to pumpkins in Illinois. We produce, I think, over 90% of the canned pumpkins in the United States come from here.
Per capita. No, as a percentage of income, the United States has the lowest food cost in the world. There are 10 countries. Most of them are in Europe. And then it's what you might think, Canada, Australia, the USA. But the cost for food for a family is 10% or less of their household income. In the United States, it's less than 7%. Then in Nigeria and Bangladesh, some of terribly populous countries in the world too, it's 40%. But in our lowest quartile, and the poorest 25% of Americans also spend 40%, up to 40% of their household income on food alone. So great disparity. But this has just been, I guess I brought that up this week. I looked into it because every newscast this week is about inflation and the cost of the turkey dinner is going up. And I get a little tired of that because I don't, yes, it has. And people are strapped. And so I get it. I'm not denying that that's true. But there's never any perspective on that. The cost of food in America is fantastically inexpensive compared to the rest of the world. We really are quite fortunate. I don't know how that fits into a newscast, but that's just as true as the fact that food is more expensive now than it was last Thanksgiving or whatever.
That sounds like a Popeye's dinner. Everybody got a Popeye's
Are there any unusual dishes on any of your because I'm not a mac and cheese guy, Brandon. We don't eat mac and cheese. Is that a tradition?
What?
We do. I've only recently discovered that some people do that. And I don't know if that's a cultural thing or a regional thing, but mac and cheese has never appeared at my Thanksgiving.
In black families, I would argue that the mac and cheese is the most important dish. And if you mess up the mac and cheese, you get banned from Thanksgiving going forward. It's just it's a big deal.
try going to a grocery store today or tomorrow and buying elbow macaroni. You
really?
Just can't do it. It's sold out. And I think it's a tradition that maybe has expanded beyond the African American community. That I think that's where it is strongest. But I think other people have realized it's a great dish, great comfort food, much tastier than say mashed potatoes or sweet potatoes.
And, Eric, are you contending that white people have taken something from black culture?
Well, this one thing. This one
is
thing.
One time.
This one thing. Yeah.
So, Brandon, then let's just go around the table real quick here. Unusual or most popular items on the table, Brandon. Is it the mac and cheese then for you guys?
Yeah, the mac and cheese that I make. I got the recipe. That's the hit. That's the big one. The maybe unusual would be spaghetti. Like we have spaghetti, maybe some catfish sometimes, depending on if somebody brings that. So that's probably the weirdest is having spaghetti there.
Corey Brooks, the pastor I talk to a lot on the South Side, says they have 4 meats at their Thanksgiving. They have
four.
They have ham. They have turkey. Then they have a jerk turkey or some jerked meat. And then, I don't know, maybe he was just making it up, but that's what he told us.
There was a Thanksgiving. I have a great uncle who likes to hunt. But we had a Thanksgiving where we had duck, we had veal, we had squirrel, we had raccoon. We had like every meat imaginable. What do you think you'd be eating? And yeah, what a time that was. So I guess it lines.
I guess at the original Thanksgiving, they didn't have turkey, but they had seal meat and lobster. Any unusual dishes on your plate, Austin? Any unusual things? What's the star?
So the star is probably actually mashed potatoes and the turkey. I'm thinking more of like the more country side of the family Thanksgiving. That was a big deal. There's also things that people from rural communities will know that are called salad that have no salad ingredients in them. Like green salad, for example, which is just sort of the color green and Cool Whip and marshmallows and Jell-O. So that was a Thanksgiving thing. And then my favorite Thanksgiving thing ever, which I've not seen other places, I think it's maybe a German-American thing, was raisin cream pie. I had a great aunt who would make that. That was like my special Thanksgiving thing.
Wow. And that's good, yeah. Huh?
Very good.
Raisin cream pie. How about you, Heather? Any unusual or star of the SpaghettiOs, tater tots?
So my husband does these great twice-baked sweet potatoes that have shallots and breadcrumbs and all sorts of different things, and they are delicious. And he also does a really fantastic Brussels sprout with like fantastic sort of sauce. And those are always the stars. And my girls know that I'm going back for seconds and thirds on the sweet potatoes. So they take their lives in their own hands if they try to get it before I do.
I think ours is going to be fairly traditional in terms of all its, unless we catch a squirrel in the backyard, in which case we'll be able to do that. But I think we're going with the real basics this year, the bird, the stuffing, the potatoes, the green beans, things like that. So nothing out of the ordinary.
The only unusual thing is my mom's pretzel Jell-O that she makes every year. It has a layer of pretzels at the bottom of it, and no one ever really touches it when you see it against the other dessert spread. So the joke then becomes, who can stuff the leftovers of the pretzel Jell-O secretly into the car of the unsuspecting person? People have found it weeks later in their car, not realizing that they were the last one to end up with it.
Sort of like the, what is it, the fruitcake or whatever it is?
Fruitcake, yeah. That
people like that. Hate and hide and give to one another. Yeah, Jell-O salad used to be a staple at all of our big meals. We had the cherry Jell-O with fruit cocktail in there, the orange Jell-O with maybe carrot slices, lime Jell-O with mandarin oranges and bananas. But that's nobody. I've not been at a place where that's on the meal anymore.
I am really surprised that this big salad hasn't sued these people for these things that are pretending to be salads. There's nothing salad-like about what you guys have described here.
We have what John said, and it's called pretzel salad, and it has red Jell-O, pretzels, and Cool Whip, I think, are literally
it's like a cream cheese sort of thing.
Maybe creamy some thing, cream yeah. cheese, yeah.
We usually talk politics and the news of the day. We didn't today. We're going to put this one in the oven and bake it at 350 degrees for about 4 hours, and then put it on both the platform and WGN radio on Saturday night.
Well, we'll put it in the garage first. And let
By the way, Austin, so then was that your uncle you said, or grandfather?
That was my grandpa, yeah.
Your grandpa. Was he a little sheepish thereafter having...
Absolutely not. I mean, maybe. It's hard to tell. There's so much like suppressed emotion that he could have been seething mad the rest of his life. I would not know.
Well, happy Thanksgiving, guys. It's one of the things I know I'm thankful for is just getting to do this podcast with you guys. And you volunteer a lot of time, energy, and interesting thoughts as often as you can. Heather, let's dive into your brain next time you can join us, maybe next Wednesday, okay?
Fingers crossed.
And safe travels there, Brandon Pope. Thanks for chiming in today.
Thanks for having me, guys. Happy Thanksgiving.
Yeah. Austin, Eric, John, guys.
And go blue, Brandon. What I say.
Boo! Nah, man, we winning. I'm telling you, I can't wait.
We are produced by Ben Anderson and Pete Zimmerman. Happy holidays, everybody. I'm John Williams. We'll drop a traditional podcast on you next week. Okay, kids. Thanks a lot.
That was a lot of fun.
Thanks, everyone.
Happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
Happy Thanksgiving, guys.
Take care.
Bye, everybody.
Love to eat turkey. Love to eat turkey.
This time of the year, there should be a hotline you can call with questions about cooking turkeys, a special 800 number where the phones are staffed by experts.
There is.
What do you mean?
The Butterball hotline.
Butterball has a hotline?
Yeah. It's an 800 number. The phones are staffed by experts.
Are you kidding me?
No.
God, I'm sorry. I love my country. Charlie, get me the number for the Butterball hotline.
Yes, sir.
Love to eat turkey, 'cause it's good. Love to eat the turkey like a good boy should. 'Cause it's turkey to eat. So good.
Something just came out of the back of the helicopter. It's a dark object. Perhaps a skydiver plummeting to the earth from only 2,000 feet into the air. Second, third. There's no parachutes yet.
A turkey for me, turkey for you. Let's eat turkey in a big brown shoe. Love to eat the turkey at the table. I once saw a movie with Betty Grable.
Stuffing should be stuffed inside the turkey. Am I correct?
It can also be baked in a casserole dish.
Well, then we'd have to call it something else, wouldn't we?
All right. Okay, also, just so you know, I'm not going to make a turkey this year.
What?
Well, Phoebe doesn't eat turkey.
Phoebe?
Turkeys are beautiful, intelligent animals.
No, they're not. They're ugly and stupid and delicious.
If I cook it inside the turkey, is there a chance I could kill my guests? I'm not saying that's necessarily a deal breaker.
Jumbo, it's Mama. I want you to wake up now.
Look down upon this family on Thanksgiving Day.
Thanksgiving is a special night. Jimmy Walker used to say dynamite. That's right. Turkey with the gravy and the cranberry. Can't believe the Mets traded that with strawberries.
Oh, the humility. People are running about. The turkeys are hitting the ground like sacks of wet cement.
You know, eating them is like a tradition. You know, it goes back to the very first Thanksgiving when the Indians sat down with the Cowboys.
Right, that's when they had that big rodeo at Plymouth Rock.
A gobble gobble ducky. I used to go to camp at Lake Winnipesaukee. Come on, Kevin.
No, that's okay.
Oh, it'll be fun.
Okay.
Turkey for me and a turkey for you. Let's feed the turkey in a big brown shoe. Turkey lead me and turkey lead me.
Well, today I'm just a guy who can't finish a turkey, but tomorrow I'm the guy who eats half a power bar, wraps up the rest, and puts it in the fridge? No, I just gotta change my pants. What was I thinking? Jeans have no give it.
Turkey and sweet potato pie. Sammy Davis Jr. only had one eye.
Good night, Jason.
Good night, Jim Bob.
Good night, Daddy.
Good night, Libby.
Good night, Mary Ellen.
Good night, Aaron.
Good night, John Boy.
Oh, I love turkey. On Thanksgiving.
As God is my witness, I thought turkeys could fly.